Hello everyone and welcome to Language Learner Weekly. This is episode number 4 of my weekly series where I rant about current language learning themes and topics and try to give you some practical tips and advice for how you can better learn languages. In the show today, I'm going to be talking about mental health, and this is because it's Mental Health Week, and it's going to be kind of a tough episode. It's a little bit unusual, because it's such an important topic to me, and it's also a really and for many a really kind of powerful and hard topic to discuss in many ways, still a taboo in many cultures, that mental health, and I think that it's no different in language learning. The upside is that I think language learning does provide a lot of positive benefits to mental health that I'll get into in just a moment, but I just wanted to put out this little disclaimer before going into the episode. And because of this kind of weekly theme, this overarching theme, there won't be that many segments this week, so you don't have to worry about skipping or tabbing or anything. I'm just going to be riffing about mental health basically. And if that's not something you're interested in, then listen in next week again, where hopefully I'll be talking about something more upbeat. But I think this topic is something that needs to be discussed, and it needs to be talked about because that way we can all improve and get better. So without further ado, let's get to the show. And before we do, I just wanted to give a quick thanks to Glossika for sponsoring the Actual Fluency podcasts. They are also sponsoring the main show, which is an interview style show where I interview an influencer, an expert, or someone with a great story in language learning. You can check out that on actualfluency.com/podcast. But yeah, Glossika, really cool of them to sponsor me. This is just a trial. So if you like the podcast, if you like what I'm doing, and you want to support Glossika for sponsoring it, give their free version a try on tryglossika.com and see what you think. There's 50 languages available. Audio sentence-based courses. It's pretty hands-off, so give it a try. All right, everyone. The topic of the week is mental health because it's Mental Health Week, and I've been thinking a little bit lately of the importance of mental health and the importance of having it out in the open. And to give you a little bit of context of why it matters so much to me, we can go back to about, sometimes it's hard to know how much to go back, but when I was 15, actually, I want to go back a little bit further, and not to make this, all about my personal story, but and some of you would have heard it before anyway, but I think it's important to give context to how some of these issues can arise. When I was very young, I would guess I was about 10 or 11, maybe even a little bit younger. I lost my dog, which was a very, sad event. It was a extremely cherished companion, a very loved member of the family. I would, as kids do, you'd spend a lot of time with the dog, curled up in front of the fireplace, sleeping, playing, growing up together essentially, because you are growing with the puppy as well. So when our dog died, it was very quick. It was just taken to the vet with some symptoms, and the vet said that she had bone cancer and that the pain would be insufferable, and so the course of action was usually termination, put down immediately. And I wasn't even, not that I should have been, but I wasn't even part of that event. I think my parents wanted to protect me, which in retrospect is probably not a terrible idea, but I didn't even want to see the dog because it was just so sad in a way. That was my best friend, or well, maybe not my best friend, but definitely a big part of the family, a big part of who I was, a big part of my life, just gone. And I remember playing video games or trying to, tears streaking down my face. Just trying to sort of overpower this sadness that had occurred, this loss, this emptiness inside that had happened. And this was kind of my first experience. I'd lost a few very old family members, but that was when I was younger and I didn't really know what it meant. And I'd never really had a deep relationship with them anyway. It's kind of like an estranged part of the family. And so this was the first kind of very close to the body, or very close to the heart anyway, loss. Fast forward a few years, I lost my father as well to an epilepsy seizure, which was not very fun either. But in a kind of a weird way, it wasn't as bad as losing my dog. Not because the magnitude of the grief was any less. It was certainly much, much greater because obviously with parents, you envision a life of events, a whole future together. But because of what had happened as a kid, I feel like I was kind of numbed by then already, kind of in a depressive state, which was noted by the school. I'd been kind of a good student before then, and after my parents, well, actually my parents divorced shortly before that, but I think the downturn really started with my dog dying, and then a few years later, the divorce really made it a lot worse because that was the family life bubble kind of blew up in my face, so to speak. Reality hit that, not everything is fine and dandy always. And then, of course, the death of my father was very sad and really affected me in ways that I can't even describe. You'd have to ask people who were around me at the time to say how it affected me. I definitely withheld a lot of grief. I definitely kept it bottled up. And I haven't to this day probably talked enough to people about it. I've been trying to do it more, definitely in the last decade or so, trying to open up about it because I think if you hold in grief for too long, it's just gonna destroy you. But anyway, that's just a quick backstory, and that kind of what set me on the path of, I would call it depression, but that word is so loaded, and I'm really not happy about using it. But I was definitely in a depressive state back then. I didn't know what to do. I wasn't really doing well in school. I managed to just barely scrape through high school, just finishing with 31 points in the IB system. And I think you need 24 under certain conditions. So it wasn't a great performance. And I just kind of drifted for a couple of years, did some basic jobs, tried playing poker online, which was interesting, I guess. I was just drifting around and not really getting anywhere. And this is, I think, the first kind of period when I was between, I would say, 18 and 24, maybe, that I really considered the idea that maybe I wasn't all right, as it goes. And I tried to do a lot of things, definitely talking more about the problems that I was having. I was trying to improve my relationships, trying to improve my diet, trying to find some kind of career. I moved abroad a year. I tried to do various degrees. I never really got into it, and I couldn't really find out what to do. And I think this is very common for people with depression, certainly. And then it wasn't until I discovered language learning, or the hobby of language learning, I should say, that I actually found some meaning in life that allowed me to, I would say, make some progress out of depression or a depressive state. I really don't think people should call themselves depressed. Like, don't be, don't, I wouldn't be naive about it. And actually, by the way, I should probably just throw in here, I'm not a doctor, so anything I say is my own opinion entirely. And if you are feeling depressed or you have any problems in mental health, please talk to your doctor or talk to someone. There are loads of ways you can get help. I've not been the best myself to do that, but in the last decade or so, as I said, I've gotten a lot better, and I've definitely accepted that things have happened in my life that had shaped the way I am today. But yeah, I really don't think that calling yourself depressed is very productive, but you have to at least admit that you are feeling depressed. I think there's a big difference there because depression is a label. Feeling depressed is a temporary state that can be fixed with antidepressants or it can be fixed with therapy and stuff. But once you've put yourself in the depressed box, I feel like it's so much harder to climb out. But anyway, that's besides the point. So I talked about this a few years ago in Montreal. I did a little talk, which was really a strange kind of talk. It was very liberating for me to talk about the struggles that I've been through and how language learning had helped with that. But on the other hand, it was also sort of weird to talk about such a serious topic to a group of people who are interested in learning, German cases or something. These are all language learners, so that was definitely weird. But I feel like the reception to that talk was immensely good, and the reaction was extremely powerful. So I think it did the job. And if I could have improved the life of just one person in the audience, I am extremely happy of what I did, even though it is not dangerous. It is scary to put yourself out there in that way, but I feel like we have to be honest. And it also creates some problems for me because a lot of people really commend me for talking about my problems so much. They're like, "Oh, Chris, we see you're struggling with learning Russian, and we really appreciate that because we struggle as well," some people say to me. And I'm thinking, well, that's great, but if my content that gets the most reception is the one where I struggle, then how can I ever succeed as a language learner? That's kind of a funny part. But I think eventually, when I do succeed in things, I'm obviously sharing that as well. So hopefully, you'll get the full picture and not just the bad times. So why is mental health and language learning kind of an interesting mix? Well, I think that for me, language learning gave me a goal and a progression that I could follow. I didn't know any Russian 5 years ago. Now I speak it reasonably well. Okay, maybe not great, but I speak some and I can watch clips and understand the gist of it. I can read news articles and get what they're talking about, which is completely night and day. But most importantly, it shows a progression. And if you're in a depressive state or you're struggling, sometimes it can be hard to see the positives, and these small wins or improvements certainly help with that. So that's why I think language learning is a great hobby. The other thing is you generally learn languages to talk to people. So you get that social aspect, which again, if you're depressed, and I know there's lots of mental health problems. It's not just depression. There's also, bipolar disorder. There's also many other problems that people can have, but I'm focusing on depression because that's the one I have the most experience with myself, and I know a lot of people have problems with also. So language learning is a great counter to depression, not only due to the progress and the social aspect, but I feel like it's also it's growing as a person in a whole different way. Like if I learned how to play chess, yeah, it would be fun and it helps me beat other players. But I feel like in languages, you actually learn a real skill, a real tangible skill that can really give you experiences that you didn't even know were possible. So that's why I think that language learning is a great tool against depressive states or feeling depressed. It is rough at times. I think the people who have suffered with depression in the past or people who have episodes, it could be bipolar disorder as well. With bipolar, you get extreme cyclical moods. So you get mania, which is more dangerous usually because you get really hyperactive and you do insane things. But then you get like the crippling depression afterwards, which isn't much better. And unfortunately, the suicide rate is very high. In fact, for general depression, I think the suicide rate is very high. And it just saddens me a lot. Luckily, I was never really. No, I want to rephrase that. I was never even considering suicide myself. So sometimes it can be hard to emphasize, not emphasize, appreciate just how bad some people are feeling when they consider that option. But to me, it's the ultimate sadness that they see that as the best option. Not only because of what it does to them, obviously, ending what could have been a beautiful, productive life, with amazing creations or inventions or friendships or it doesn't even matter what, but then you also leave behind, the family in complete disarray, and your legacy is just destroyed. So for me, that's the ultimate sadness. And if I can do anything, like if you're listening to this and you're feeling a little bit bad, but you don't want to talk to like your doctor or your psychologist, feel free to call me anytime or email me. I really don't mind, and I'd love to help if there's anything I can do for you to make you feel a little bit better, because there's always hope, there's always something you can do. There's always something you can achieve. If nothing else, then learn languages and travel the world. I feel like that's a pretty good backup plan, even though I'm not gonna become a famous actor or a comedian or anything. But I might be able to travel the world and learn a couple of languages along the way, which is a pretty damn good second, So it is a really tough topic, I must admit. It is deep, and that's the other problem that I have with this topic, is that the focus on it is important. And I must say, just getting back to the cyclical aspects, I do feel some elements of cyclical ups and downs, but I think that's very normal. I think everyone has their bad days, but I was having a particularly bad day yesterday and today also, which is why I decided I had to record this episode, because it just made sense. Originally I wanted to get them out on Mondays, but yesterday I was procrastinating, which was Monday, and I was f not feeling very well. I hadn't slept very well, had a bit of a neck pain. All these things were just kind of crumbling up on me, and I was second guessing my career choices. I was second guessing what I was doing with actual fluency, providing content to you guys out there. And today I was not feeling much better, which is interesting, because I just had a family member visit, and it was a great weekend. It really was, and we got a lot of stuff done, a lot of socializing, a lot of chilling. It's a very relaxed weekend. But I feel like sometimes the worst days come right after the good days. So maybe we need to be a little bit more anticipating of the fact that the bad days can come and how to approach them. And when I say bad days, they're not that bad at all. I think it's equivalent of people being tired of their job or something. So I'm not gonna equate how I feel today or yesterday with someone in deep depression, deep clinical depression, who is having seriously dark thoughts and on antidepressants or anything, because I'm nowhere near that level anymore, thank God. But it's important to say that I don't feel great all the time, and I don't think I ever will, because I think, as I said before, these cyclical swings are incredibly human. And if we're happy all the time, what is the new happy then? What is the new sad? So I want to keep doing it. I want to keep going, keep progressing as a person, and just do my best in spreading awareness, and hopefully we can help save some people, help some people get out of their slumps, and keep growing as people as well. I wanted to also talk a little bit about practical steps you can take if you are feeling or suffering from mental health problems, or you're feeling down in a depressive-like state, and you still want to learn languages, but you feel like you can't do it because it's too overwhelming. It's too hard, and I definitely agree that that feeling is quite evident, because learning a language is a massive task, no matter how you look at it, and the kind of the way to get to fluency in a language is to put in consistent effort. But if you're feeling depressed, then one of the hardest things is to have a routine, or have energy to do things that aren't completely essential. You nap a lot, you don't sleep very well, you might have a really bad diet. There might be loads of problems that are causing you to have low energy or low motivation for actually learning languages. What I would say is the most important thing is never to be too hard on yourself. And this is definitely something that I'm struggling with, and I have always been struggling with. I'm a bit of a perfectionist. I set ridiculous expectations of myself. But I've always found with languages, my philosophy hasn't changed much since I started a couple of years ago. And that was, if you keep learning a language, there is no way you can fail learning a language, because you're always learning. If you think about it, I'm still learning English. you're probably still learning your native language or your second best language, because there are always going to be words and phrases and dialects and accents that we've never even heard of. So we still need to keep going. And that's why we're never done learning. And if we're never done learning, how can we have failed learning a language? Some people say to me, I tried to learn French, but I couldn't do it. And I was like, well, why are you not still learning it? You're just, or maybe I should have been more supportive and said, no, you're still learning French. You've just taken a really long break between sessions, Because I really think that's the key. One of the things I said early on with my Russian, well, to be fair, I also said that I was going to learn in 3 months, which was complete nonsense. But one of the clever things I said was, if I don't stop learning, I will never fail. I'll just be along the way. And of course, you want to learn, faster than 20 years, hopefully. But I think when you're suffering from mental health problems or concentration problems, the best is to just do as little as possible and just be sure to do a little bit whenever you can. So, for instance, I wasn't really too keen on recording this podcast, but I told myself how important it was, first of all. That's an important point. And second of all, I just said to myself, turn on the mic and just say whatever comes to mind. I didn't plan this episode. I didn't write down a script or anything because I felt like this topic is too important to do a rehearsal of. And maybe that's kind of a weird point, but I just feel like if I don't say exactly what I mean, exactly what comes from the heart at the time it comes, then this episode would have been a little bit constructed, and I didn't want that to happen. But anyway, it did help my procrastination because obviously I wasn't thinking, okay, how can I record 20 segments or 20 points that I want to get across? I was simply saying, turn on the mic, start talking. And if there's anything we can all do, it's talking. So that's one of my practical tips. Just keep going. And it doesn't matter how little you do, as long as you do a little bit. So, for instance, a hack that's been very useful for people is to set yourself micro goals. So, if you have a textbook, if you're learning French, get your French textbook and say to yourself, I'm going to read a page a day. And that is a ridiculously small goal that when you think about it, it seems almost silly. Like, why would I get the book and just read a page? But that's exactly the point. Some days you'll read that page and you'll be like, oh, I can't deal with any more French today. And that's absolutely fine. You've done your goal. But other days you're just going to be like, okay, I've read a page and is this still wrong? Yeah, and now I'm gonna read a couple more pages because you've got the book from the bookshelf and you might as well continue to read a couple of pages. So that's what I would say. And obviously try and join up with as many meetups as you can, as many events. Like the Polyglot Gathering was incredible for me because it showed me the real life faces and people that were doing what I wanted to do. And they really gave me inspiration and hope for that I could do it as well. And they were very supportive. It's very scary, don't get me wrong. To this day, I still get extremely nervous when I go to these events where there are lots of strangers that I don't know. Obviously, I wouldn't know them, otherwise they wouldn't be strangers, but you know what I mean. And even people I know, actually, I've got quite a bit of, I'm quite shy in public, a bit of social anxiety at times, but I think I always force myself to go to the events, and more importantly, I always force myself to go out in the sort of public, so in the big areas, the common areas where people were meeting, and I would always try and say hi to new people that I hadn't seen before, even if I didn't know them or there was like loads of people I knew around, because to me it just pushed barriers and it kind of reinforced what language learning was all about, which is making connections and learning more about the world, learning more about yourself even, but also getting that social interaction. There are loads of ways you can get better as well with the depression-like states or other mental health problems. But no matter what, don't fight these things alone. Just don't do it because it's not going to help and it's not going to work. You need to take the help that you can get. And like I said, I'm happy to help. I'm not a psychiatrist, psychologist, or doctor. So anything I say, can never be construed as medical advice. But please go to your GP or your physician and just, talk about it. They will have programs in place. They will have procedures and sort of medicines that you can try. Like some people have had amazing results with antidepressants that have changed their lives forever. And you're not weaker because you take antidepressants. You're not any less of a person. That I think that's one of the biggest stereotypes or taboos that we have in society today is that people taking antidepressants are somehow less of a person or is some kind of sign of weakness. To me, it's actually the opposite because you've realized a problem that you're having and you're willing to do anything it takes to fix it or correct it. The biological version or the biological aspects of depression are quite simple. Clinical depression, usually involves some kind of chemical imbalance in the brain. Of course, there's lots of studies on this, so there's no definitive answer. And the thing is, there are lots of antidepressant drugs, so you might have to try a couple before you find one that really helps you. I tried two different ones. The first one didn't really do anything, and I didn't really feel any different. And the second one, I didn't really get a lot of positive benefits at all, but I did get a lot of negative symptoms, so I had to stop that as well. And then I started to get better on my own. So I was able to step down slowly from the medication and do it. Like, this is a very dangerous thing. Like, you cannot just go cold turkey on this. And you can't like start at a really high dosage either. You really need to get your doctor in on this. But anyway, I don't want to rant forever. These episodes were not designed to be several hours long, but I just want to say that you're not alone. Definitely, that's the most important thing. Like, we're all dealing with some kind of crap out there, Life is tough. It's insanely tough. But I think if you start to do better and you start to develop yourself, which I think language learning is a great kind of indicator of, then you will slowly see improvements in all areas of your life. And there are loads of other tips that work, get a lot of sunlight, go out a lot. Exercise is said to be very helpful. I've never been much of an exerciser myself, which might be part of the problem, I guess. But yeah, of course, there's lots of ways you can make it better. But I just wanted today to talk about my general position and why language learning can really help and share some stories here. And when I was in my darkest hour, it was unemployment and pizzas all day and no real friends. I had some virtual friends, but nothing substantial. I never went out. I was sitting in my room 16 hours a day. And now, I'm not exactly a Hollywood movie star with six pack abs and millions in the bank, but I have a steady job that I'm doing really well at. I have some nice colleagues, I have some nice friends, I have my own apartment now, which is amazing. And I have my own website. I've learned a lot of Russian. I've learned a lot of other languages, and I still want to keep growing and growing. So I'm not exactly a success story, but I hope that my progress or my journey, which I'm in the middle of, towards the right direction, can help you to maybe see some of your future potential and try to start to realize it. And in any case, I hope that you do well. That's what it's all about. Language learning is not just about learning languages. I feel like it's so much more than that, and we must never forget that. And I really appreciate whoever came up with the idea of Mental Health Week, because I think the attention is just amazing, and it really opens up society to help more people. Hopefully, we can lose less people to depression-related suicide or mental health-related suicides. I want to also thank the people at Linguitastic, Sarah and Mike. They put out a post recently about mental health as well, which sort of inspired me to do this episode and talk about it. I know that that kind of been easy either. They're a kids' language website mostly, so them. Sarah sharing this post, I think, is amazing. She was sharing a few different people talking about how language learning can help in terms of depression. So definitely go to linguatastic.co.uk, check that out. And until next time, enjoy language learning and keep improving. If you have any question, comment, concern, or you need my advice, help, or someone to talk to, just go to Ask Fluency. That would be a nice domain name. Go to actualfluency.com/ask, and I'll accept your voice or text message, whatever. You can email me, chris@actualfluency.com. That's Chris with a K. My phone number is 0737-816-2858. Might not always answer if you call, but if you send me a text message, I'll definitely get back to you. And yeah, just keep up the good work, and any feedback you have for me, I'm always appreciative of. And let's grow together.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.